91.9 WSHR. This is Sachem Radio. I'm Chris Vaccaro, and this is a special budget info session right here on the airwaves in Sachem. And we have special guests Ken Graham, the superintendent of the Sachem Central School District, John O'Keefe, the assistant superintendent from business and operations. Big month coming up. It's been a big couple months preparing for the budget vote, which is on Tuesday, May 16th. So what better place to talk about it than right here on Sachem Radio? So these fine gentlemen will be talking about the process over the last 2 months of educating the community, about what's going into the 2017-2018 budget, about all the information that's available on sachem.edu. It's easier to hear it right from them if you haven't been able to make it to a board meeting and if you haven't been able to go to the new website, again, sachem.edu. So welcome, gentlemen. I'm excited to talk to a little bit budget action with you.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
So this is the first year for both of you, obviously, as administrators in Sachem, and there's just a different process in place now than what we've experienced the last few years or 50, 60 years. You know, it's you're two different folks with different backgrounds that are bringing your spin to it. So can you talk about just what went into the process and how people have been informed and what you've been talking about at the board meetings?
So I think one of the things that we've striven to have throughout this budget process is absolute transparency with all of our district stakeholders, including our staff, our parents, and the community, the Board of Education. And John will speak a little bit to the process that we've actually put in place toward doing that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously being new to the district and wanting to get to know all the different administrators, it was a great opportunity to bring them in, both in groups and individually, as we built the process, you know, to hear their needs, to find out, you know, what worked in prior budgets, what didn't work. So as we moved forward in crafting a new budget, we could make the necessary changes.
Speaking of changes, differences, year-over-year impact, I mean, this is a 2.54% increase budget-to-budget from last year to the upcoming school year. What are the major differences? Everybody always asks, what goes into the budget? What's going to change year-over-year?
There's a lot of differences, to be honest with you, Chris. Some of the major differences as I see them is, one, just the way that we've been allocating different resources to different lines in the budget. Mr. O'Keefe has been very diligent about making sure that all of our general fund expenditures are allocated in those proper general fund budget lines. I don't know if you want to speak any more to that, John, about how some of the things perhaps moved around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, you know, once the line-by-line budget is up on the website for everyone to see today, people take note to differences in the lines, and it may look like there were certain cuts in certain things. In the past, you know, certain grant-funded expenditures and things like that were listed in the general fund budget and then subtracted out later on, so it was a little confusing to the reader. I'm trying to make it, you know, as easy as possible for people to see year-to-year change and what took place.
Yeah, this won't be a numbers-driven conversation, but I do want to talk a little bit about some of the numbers that go into the 17-18 budget. I mentioned 2.54% budget-to-budget increase year-over-year. It's a $314 million budget. There's a state aid number that came in, which is, you know, it was a positive amount of money, not a negative amount, so that's good for us. And then there's this tax levy number with a different percentage increase. Can you, in layman's terms, discuss what that percentage is versus the year-over-year budget-to-budget increase?
Sure. The tax levy percentage increase, which is 3.47%, is a number within the state tax cap. You know, everyone hears the 2% number, but there are many different factors that go into the calculation that can make the number either much greater than 2 or lower than 2. And this year, some of the factors that changed that percentage were things like we actually got a reduction in state building aid this year of about $700,000. So that $700,000 becomes a factor in the calculation. The district also does have some new debt this year for an energy performance contract. You may have noticed solar panels going up around the district, and we've got cogeneration units going in at our middle schools, all energy-saving related items. So that new debt that's going on to the district's books becomes a part of the calculation. So that's how you end up with a number that's not the 2 that people would be looking for.
And we're talking about the Sachem budget here. Chris Vaccaro with Dr. Graham and Mr. O'Keefe. I didn't mean to cut you off, Dr. Graham. Go on, jump in. We'll keep it going.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to mention also along the same line with the tax cap calculation is that we have included within this budget a number of capital improvement projects. That's a new line to our budget formerly we had relied upon bonds often to take care of some of our capital needs, and we have decided that for this year we've included some of those capital projects, two of which have to do with an Office of Civil Rights audit of the school district in 2013-14 that requires us to do and complete two projects, one being a is it a stairway or a ramp down to the east?
It would be accessible stairs to traverse the fields at east to the lower fields.
And the next one is locker room, ADA compliance for the locker room
at North. North, yes.
And then the final portion of that capital budget is that we've started to plan for refurbishment and recycling of our district bus fleet. So this includes an expenditure for six buses, and we'd like to get on a cycle where each year or cycle of years we're improving the district's bus fleet.
Lots of great information here about the Sachem budget. This is not something where you can't find on our website. If you go to www.sachem.edu, a brand new, constructed, beautiful-looking webpage, there's plenty of this information on our budget page. It's accessible through the Board of Education page. So if you're missing something, if you're wondering, oh, what did he say about the buses? Oh, what did they say about 2.54%? It's all available on sachem.edu, and there'll be plenty of different coverage posts on our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram pages as well. There have been and there will be leading up to the budget vote on Tuesday, May 16th. So talk about some more individual ingredients of the budget. What does it make up? What are there anything being cut from previous years? Are we adding things? There's a lot of those individual things that the community loves to hear and talk about.
So one of the things that we started doing very early on in the budget process was planning for a programmatic rollover budget. In other words, taking all of our existing programs and rolling them over without reductions or eliminations or cuts. So we've been very careful to talk about our programmatic rollover budget that maintains all programs to students and our staffing as well. And we've also talked about having that programmatic rollover budget include some what we're deeming as critical enhancements within it. So at the current budget, as it's been constructed and adopted by the Board of Education last night, provides for additional funding for instructional materials at the building level, opportunities for SAT and ACT prep at the high schools, enhanced offerings for our E&L students, improvements to our instrumental music curriculum for aligning us to the NISMA performance standards, including technology improvements K through 12, some new computers, VEX robotics kits, 3D printers, STEAM kits for our elementary schools. STEAM is science, technology, engineering, art, and math. We've also included facilities and equipment upgrades that you may remember in July we were talking about a bond. We've taken some of those things that were originally earmarked in a bond, pulled them out, and put them into the budget. We've looked at some enhanced high school elective offerings, and we've also proposed and included within this budget an additional assistant principal at each of our five secondary schools.
So talk about the additional assistant principals. Sorry, I got to make sure that that's very categorized correctly. It's different. We haven't spoken about that in the last few years. It's an interesting point. And what's the impact, and how did that come about?
So one of the things that we've been asking our administrative team is to really focus in on teaching and learning. And not that that's different. It's just because of our budget constraints in the past several years, it's a conversation that has taken perhaps a backseat to some of the financially driven conversations that the district has been involved with. And I think we're in a position where we can start to shift our focus again back to the teaching and learning and the program for our students. And so what I feel is an essential cog of that is the ability to have an additional assistant principal at each of our secondary buildings, because right now, when you compare us to other school districts throughout the county, and in particular, if you looked at the school districts, I had compared us to the large group of school districts back in September when we were looking at our academic performance. And if you look at that grouping of larger school districts, we have by far the highest ratios of students to administrators in our building. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that an assistant principal is seeing every single student every single day. But what it means is that the I think that the focus of our administrators becomes less so on the teaching and learning and more so on dealing with some of the issues that come up within a secondary school, a high school or a middle school. And having that additional assistant principal at each one of those buildings will allow us to start to focus some of our conversations and have some of those principals and assistant principals have conversations with teachers about teaching and learning. And that's really our focus is moving forward. We have to think about teaching and learning for our students.
Talking about the Sachem budget here with Dr. Graham, Mr. O'Keefe, the vote is coming up Tuesday, May 16th. Of course, this is 91.9. I wanted to talk about budget philosophy and your previous experiences at your other school district and what went into, you know, again, we started off with your two new people coming into this big school district. Hey, here's a budget, figure it out. I mean, and essentially that's how it works. And you have a great administrative team under both of you. But, you know, and Mr. O'Keefe, you have West Hempstead School District, Long Beach School District for Dr. Graham. What in your previous experiences prepared you for this monstrous budget, the second biggest school district in the state, this massive undertaking? And here we are. Unbelievable information, full transparency, you know, a 2.54% increase, all within the constraints of time and, you know, dealing with this new position, a new role, new school district for you guys. How did you handle it and how did you use your previous experiences?
I guess either one of us could take that up.
Yeah.
I mean, working in different districts, this is, you know, my third school district that I've been in, so I've built budgets in very small districts out in Sag Harbor, as well as in West Hempstead and now here in Sachem. And the biggest thing is collaboration, you know, really getting together with all your administrators, understanding their needs, you know, figuring out the staffing needs, determining, you know, what has to change from year to year, taking a look at, you know, prior year expenditures and determining trends, you know, possibly in different rollover budgets. There are areas that, you know, we could save money in a particular line that we can move those funds to other lines for the enhancements like Dr. Graham has spoken about. So, I mean, that's basically my philosophy. It's always getting to know all the different stakeholders within the budget and then building it from there and then hopefully putting together a sound package that the community can support.
And I think one of the things that we considered throughout this budget process as well is that the district closed three schools last year, and we wanted to be very cognizant of the fact that there's still, you know, there's still people who are dealing with that and struggling with that. And so moving forward, you know, we want to be able to make sure that we address, you know, some of the concerns that the community has based on our recent history. We also have to acknowledge that our enrollment is declining. When you look at our kindergartens, we see that there are roughly 830 to 850 kindergartners entering our school system each year, and that's projected to go out for the next several years. And so that we're going to continue to deal with some of these issues around declining enrollment, how do we best utilize our facilities, how do we best utilize the nearly third of $1 billion that we are budgeting for in expenditures each year.
We're talking about the Sachem budget here on 91.9 WSHR. We are going to go into a break. You know, we'll talk more about the specific items going into this year's budget for the 17-18 school year. Again, the vote's coming up on Tuesday, May 16th. All the information is available on sachem.edu. But some more budget talk on 91.9 WSHR right after this. 91.9 WSHR. I'm Chris Vaccaro. This is Sachem Radio, a special budget update session here with Dr. Graham, our superintendent of schools, John O'Keefe, our assistant superintendent for business and operations, talking all things 17-18 budget. Budget votes coming up on Tuesday, May 16th. All the information you could ever want available on the newly renovated, updated, beautiful-looking sachem.edu, and, of course, all of our social pages on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Talked a lot in the first half of this show, got a lot more to talk about in no particular order. I did want to jump into the state, the comptroller, our reserves, how much money we're putting away, what the sort of state mandate is for us to have a rainy day fund. There's all this information because it's been prevalent based on the last few years where we didn't necessarily have much money in our rainy day fund. It's not something we haven't spoken about for years now. So, John, I mean, talk about that. What is the comptroller telling us, and how are we getting to where they need us to be?
Sure, and obviously the community is going to remember just a very short time ago there came a point where Sachem only had $16,000 in unassigned fund balance. You know, that's the rainy day fund that the comptroller speaks to. And, you know, the maximum recommendation in the rainy day fund is 4% of your budget. You know, some quick math, you need $12 million. And that's set aside for things that are unknown or emergencies that maybe you couldn't, you know, foresee in a particular budget, whether it was a particular special ed expense or some boiler failure or something to that effect. So you want to have a healthy reserve. And in total fund balance, because fund balance is not just the unassigned 4%, there's other components. You have various reserves that are earmarked for specific expenses, like the employer retirement system, workers' comp, unemployment, things of that nature, a capital reserve where you set monies aside for future capital projects. You know, the district doesn't have any of those reserves right now other than an employee benefit reserve. So, I mean, the goal would be to start moving the district towards a total of at least 10%, which is the controller's basic recommendation. And so rough math again, you're talking about $30 million. We closed last year out on a very positive note. We have total fund balance now back up to $13 million. But obviously, there's still work ahead of us.
And I think that the important part is when we talk about this, we're looking for sustainability. Often, Sachem has been in the past on this almost a roller coaster ride where we've seen the light and then added some things back, and then we've had to cut, and then we've had to, you know, and we don't want to be in this ebb and flow. We want to get to a point where we have a budget that is sustainable for the future.
So sustainability also comes with a need and a want and a desire from the Board of Education. They've lived this the last 5-10 years. There's been changes, ups and downs. And again, this is nothing new. We've all talked about this before. We've seen it. But now we're trying to get into the sustainability mode. And I think the Board of Education deserves a lot of credit here, too. They've adopted the budget. They've supported it. They've bought in on the whole process. I was talking to you before we got in here. I said that was a pretty quick meeting when the budget was adopted. And there was very little discussion, I think, during the public session because everybody had the information. The questions have been asked over the last 2 months. And now it's a matter of just informing the community even more and getting it out there. But from the board's perspective, I think they deserve a lot of credit, and they've all been working together. They've been collaborating. They've put a lot of synergy into this with you guys as administrators. Can you talk about their involvement?
Well, you're absolutely right, Chris. The Board of Education deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the budget process this year. They've really been looking at this idea of having a sustainable budget that supports programs and supports opportunities for all students. And I think that that's something that we've been focused on tremendously, is how do we support all of our programs, all of our instructional offerings, so that we can continue to provide all students with opportunities. And that's been something that I think that they have been tremendously focused on throughout the budget process and giving us guidance as we go out and work with the administration on developing that budget.
Talking about the Sachem budget here on 91.9, I'm Chris Vaccaro with Dr. Graham, Mr. O'Keefe. I talked a lot about the process. I hammered home on how you guys developed the process, what the process has been. There's one element of that you wouldn't understand unless you were going to the board meetings and looking at the budget info on sachem.edu, is that the process was breaking it down bit by bit, chunk by chunk, in different areas of discussion. So as I keep on saying, oh, the last couple of months, there's been a lot of information out there. It wasn't a lot of information in one time. It was a lot of information spread out over many days and many months for people to dissect, to analyze, to go over line by line, to look at it and say, oh, okay, that's how much money is for operations. That's how much we're spending on transportation. Every single element has been broken down. So that part of the process, can you talk about how you broke it down and when you sat, you know, from afar when you initially started this process and you said this is how we need to, and what went into that?
Sure. And again, you know, the Board of Education was very supportive for Dr. Graham and I, you know, because we're coming in new, different methodology, slightly different philosophy of how to break down a budget. You know, and the way that I prepared this year's budget and broke it down for public presentation was the way I've done it successfully in other school districts, and I thought I would, you know, try it here. Not that everything works the same anywhere. But taking the budget, breaking into sections, so the earlier presentations were on things that are fixed costs, insurance, legal costs, administrative costs, facilities costs, utility costs, things of that nature. And as the budget progressed and we got deeper into staffing discussions, we went on to special ed and staffing. We went on to instructional and obviously, like you said, transportation. So breaking it down in small pieces, although the board at all times had the complete line-by-line detail, so they couldn't certainly ask questions as we went. As we did each session, we focused on particular areas, and I think that kept the conversation focused on those areas and led to better conversation.
We talked about sustainability. We talked about living in this moment and in 2017, 18, and we're worried about, obviously, the budget vote coming up just right now in a month. What about the three-year plan, the five-year plan? What does SACHM look like in 20 years? I mean, you'll both probably be retired and living in Florida at that point and enjoying a new chapter in our lives. But how do we prepare for the future beyond just worrying about what the comptroller says and jacking up our reserves and making sure we're sustainable financially? How do you guys start thinking about well beyond just 17, 18?
It's not easy, Chris, not right now with the tax cap era, and also when you have the state budgets being released after school districts are required to move forward in their budget process. You know, also there's some uncertainty right now regarding the federal government's budget and what services may continue versus which ones may be eliminated. And you'll notice that if you were to access our budget presentations, Mr. O'Keefe had mentioned last night that there's a piece of that Governor Cuomo has reserved the right that if the state funding from the federal government should drop below a certain level, then the state government will actually reduce state aid to schools mid-year. So that's something that makes sustainability or that conversation of sustainability incredibly difficult. I think for us, the key elements are to continue to be conservative in our budgeting and to continue to look at maximizing and maintaining those levels of reserves, and then continuing to look at new and creative ways to deliver programs so that we can offer the best educational program and continue to manage our budget so that it is sustainable.
Talking about the SACHM budget with Dr. Graham, Mr. O'Keefe, one thing not related to the budget but that was discussed at the most recent board meeting is the Smart Schools Investment Plan for SACHM. Because we have so many things going on, we're talking about sustaining. The Smart Schools plan doesn't just sustain, it progresses us. It gets us into a wonderful place with technology and digital infrastructure. And I figured while we're talking about all these important district issues, do you want to have an update for the community on that and how that went with the hearing?
Yeah, I can give a brief update, although I want to be cautious about having the two conversations be too muddied up.
Yeah, absolutely.
That the school budget is one, and then the Smart Schools Investment Plan is another. The Smart Schools Investment Plan is something that the board adopted a resolution for us to submit to the state. It's a reimbursement program from the state, so the district will go out and allocate certain funds. We will purchase materials and equipment, and I'll talk about those in a moment. And then as we do the work, the state reimburses us for that work. So that's totally independent of the budget. Now, what have we included in our Smart Schools Investment Plan? And again, this is something that you can access on our website. It's making our entire school district a wireless infrastructure so that there is ubiquitous wireless access at all of our schools, even extending onto our fields and the outsides of our properties, so that students and staff can now access that network with many different devices while they're here. It's also including the addition of security vestibules so that each one of our buildings will have a double-doored security vestibule entryway with a visitor management system at which people will be scanning in to access our buildings and facilities, certainly something that I think is a great improvement with regard to the security. It includes a number of increases for cameras throughout the district for security. And it also includes additional for the infrastructure for the wireless network. There's a lot of hardware and back-end things that need to be included for security of the network as well and access of the network. And finally, devices, whiteboards, additional computers for every single one of our buildings, document cameras. And the question was asked last night, should any of the particular pieces of the projects come under budget, what would happen with the additional monies within the Smart Schools Investment Plan? And that would all be used to purchase additional devices for students and staff.
So again, as Dr. Graham alluded to, that's totally separate from budget talk, but I figured it was important to mention out there for people that aren't yet familiar with it.
Absolutely. And within our current budget, there is roughly a $500,000 increase for technology purchases that I think will be perfectly complementary to the efforts of the Smart Schools Investment Plan. And that's, I had mentioned before that we were looking at robotics kits and STEAM kits and 3D printers and upgrades to Mac libraries and those computer labs, those kinds of things are all included within this budget, and that's for K-12.
All great things. And again, that's also available on sagem.edu. It's pretty clear on the homepage. We talked a lot about various ingredients that went into this budget. We could talk for hours about different things related to education in relation to the budget. Just before, during the break, we talked class size briefly. How is class size impacted? What's going on in the classroom that is affected by this budget? Can you give a little insight to the community there?
You know, so one of the things that we have heard as a concern is class size. What I can tell you is that as Dr. Morrow and Dr. Cohen have been working with building administrators, we've been targeting to decrease class sizes. That doesn't mean that every single class size will be reduced. It doesn't mean that we'll see that all in 1 year, but we have been looking at ways to reduce class sizes. It's a focus area. As we know, elementary enrollment is where our enrollment numbers are declining the most. And so that may help us out with realizing some decreases in class sizes at the elementary level. At the secondary level, we've done some reallocation of some of our staff, and we're able to increase the teaching FTEs, or the equivalent of the teaching sections, by about 6.8 teaching staff members for all of our secondary buildings, which will give us a number of extra sections that we can then use to reduce class size.
So there's always, hey, this is the budget, and if the budget does not pass, there's a contingency budget. John, can you talk about if the budget does not pass, what then happens as far as the process then for the community?
Sure. If the budget were to go down, the board has to consider a couple of different options, actually. The board could decide at that time to immediately go to contingency. The board could decide to put back out the same budget in a second vote, which would be the third Tuesday in June, or to put out a revised vote at a different amount. Now, if the second vote were to go down, then you would be forced automatically to go into contingency. So if that were to happen, the district would need to cut $5.9 million from the budget. Basically, the tax cap from the current year needs to be the tax levy for the second year. Things that have to come out automatically as part of that contingency: any of the new capital work, so the ADA requirements at East and North, those would need to come out, those capital projects. The purchase of the new buses would need to come out. Not to go into the nitty-gritty of the numbers, but there's several hundred thousand dollars in new equipment purchases for both the transportation department as well as the facilities department. The new assistant principals would come out of that. And even with that, we'd still need to find another $2.8 million. In rough numbers, about $270,000 in additional administrative cuts and another $2.6 million in program-related cuts. So it would be some work for the board to sit down and consider those tough decisions and move forward with a contingent budget.
Talking about the Sachem budget, I'm Chris Vaccaro with Dr. Graham, Mr. O'Keefe. We are going to wrap up shortly, but as one final word to the community for each of you, what's one thing you'd love the community to take away from the chat today and about the 17-18 school budget?
I think for me, Chris, is that we are focused like never before on our instructional program and providing opportunities for all students, both in the classroom and outside of the classroom. And this is a budget that helps us do that, while helps us start to think about a pathway towards sustainability.
And for myself, I'm hopeful that at least my process and the methodology that I utilized this year, the community was receptive to it, and they found it to be helpful. Certainly, my office is always available for any questions. Community members do reach out. Please feel free always reach out to my office directly via telephone or email. It's been a great process, and I look forward to moving forward.
Well, thank you both gentlemen for coming on, talking a little Sachem budget here on WSHR.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thanks.
So a couple of housekeeping items and things for the community to know. There's a lot of information out there, as we've been alluding to over the last half hour. It's all available on sachem.edu, on the budget page, on the Board of Education page. You can follow us on social media. We're constantly posting about updates there related to the budget as well. At Sachem Schools on Twitter, facebook.com/Sachem Schools, at Sachem CSD on Instagram. All the pages have all the information you're looking for. And if that's not enough, and if you want to talk more directly with Dr. Graham and Mr. O'Keefe, and you want to have an in-person sort of session for all the same information, you can go to the Sachem PTA Council budget presentations that are coming up and get your paper ready or your cell phone, notepad, whatever you're typing with, Monday, April 24th at 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. in Samoset. The 7 p.m. one is at the auditorium, and the 8 p.m. one is in the Board of Education Annex. So again, that's Monday, April 24th, the budget presentation sponsored by the PTA Council. There's one at 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. at Samoset. Then there's another one, Tuesday, May 2nd. There's one at 7 p.m. and 8:15 p.m. 7 p.m. at Sagamore, 8:15 p.m. at Seneca. Tuesday, May 2nd, 7 p.m. Sagamore, 8:15 Seneca. If you're saying, I didn't catch that, I don't know what he's saying, don't worry. This is going to be posted many times on our social media pages as well, and you can find the same information on sachem.edu on our calendar page. Again, more information for you. Tuesday, May 16th, that's when the budget votes will take place, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. at all Sachem elementary schools. Yes, all buildings, including the two that don't have school now, which is Gatelot and Tecumseh. You can go there and vote. If you're unsure of where to vote, call, contact, email our district clerk. Her information is available on sachem.edu. There's no need to worry. There's no need to wonder. We will tell you where you're supposed to go and vote on Tuesday, May 16th. Thank you very much for listening. All the information is on sachem.edu. For Dr. Graham, Mr. O'Keefe, I'm Chris Vaccaro, and thanks for listening to 91.9 WSHR.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boyfriend. You're out late every weekend. They're talking about you and it's bringing me down. But I know the neighborhood. And talk is cheap when the story is good. And the tales grow a totter. Take it on the run, baby. If that's the way you want it, baby, then I don't want you around. I don't believe it, not for a minute. You're under the gun, so you take it on the run. You're thinking up your white lies. You're putting on your bedroom eyes. You say you're coming home.